You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that bears some meditation. What does that mean? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy of the Lord, joy in His Word, joy in Him, joy in what He said. You know, really, if you think about it, we don't have anything to despair about. We don't have anything to be discouraged about. Nothing. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's given us everything that pertains to life. And He says that He wants to give you an abundant life. He's already told you what His thoughts for, are you? Read Jeremiah 29:11 if you don't know what I'm talking about. And so, we're blessed. We don't have anything to be discouraged about. I don't want to get into my message right this moment, but I'm going to tell you something. I've been a little remiss in something I've been sharing with you guys. And it's not that I shared it wrong, but I missed the most important key. In Isaiah 26:3, it says that He will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. But that's not the end of the story. The key part is who trusts in Him. And that's the key. That's the key right there. If we trust Him, then we have nothing to fear and nothing to worry about. I don't care how bad this world gets. I don't care how bad it looks and how much it goes downhill every day. I don't care how much the battles are in Congress and in everything and what you see in the world. I'm telling you, just get ready. Be ready. Be full of joy. Walk with the Lord. And I'm telling you, one of these days, you're going to go to sleep and you're going to wake up in glory. Oh, come on now. Doesn't that get anybody excited? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Now you see, if you think about that for a minute, if you'll meditate that for just a minute, that's why we can say, you know, we get all this in heaven too. Now if you're confused about that, let me paint a little picture. God says He's given us an abundant life. God says He's blessed us with everything that pertains to life and godliness. God says that He has thoughts for us that are good and not for evil, to prosper and not to harm us, and to give us a hope and a future. We have all those things in this life. Then what out there? You know, I don't care. I was talking to Donna earlier this morning. Marie was listening in. And, you know, I don't care how bad this world gets. Your eyes are not supposed to be on the world. Your eyes are supposed to be on God and God's promises. The Scripture says, I will not fear what man will do to me. I'll fear the one who can take my name out of the book of life. Now there's only one reason, and that's if you reject Him. If your name's not in the book of life, it means you have rejected Him. But the point is that God has said we have everything we need. His plans for us are good for not, and He's given us everything we need to walk this walk. But the key in Isaiah 26:3 is not just, you know, that He'll keep us in perfect peace. He'll keep us in perfect peace if our mind is on Him and if we trust in Him. How many of you trust Him this morning? I mean, you really trust Him. You don't pay attention to your circumstances. You don't get caught up in your need. You get caught up in His supply. See, God looks at the demand. And that's what He gives out, is the supply to meet that demand. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before I get completely carried away here, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for this life. Father, I glorify You. You are worthy of all praise. You, Lord, do keep us in perfect peace as we trust in You and as we keep our minds on You. Lord, I don't care how anesthetized we get to the things of this world, Lord. You're still in control, and I don't care how anesthetized the world gets to You, Lord. You're still in control. They think they are, but we know You are. And Lord, I thank You that because we've surrendered our lives to You, You're in control of us. And Lord, because of that, we're never out of control. We're in control because You're in control. And You're in control of us and the outcome. So we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear and be afraid of nothing to regret. We surrender to You this morning, Lord. We want to do Your will. We thank You for this day. Bless Your family this morning, Lord. Bless these people, these faithful people. And we just turn it all over to You now, Lord. We look to You, the author and the finisher, the completer of our faith, the One who gave us all the faith we're ever going to need. And we just walk in that, Lord, and we receive it and we profess it with everything we do and say in all of our actions and all of our deeds. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Like the song says, is He awesome in this place today? Don't just give me a quick answer. Search your heart. Is God really awesome? Is He the center of your life? Is He at the highest place in your life? Is there anything standing in the way between you and God, or that you put that you're allowing to be more important than God? Your answer for your life is in the answer you give when you say God is, or if you can, you know, whatever you come up with when I ask that question. If God is the author of everything, then it doesn't make any difference how bad the world gets. God's the one who's going to have, I forget how the scripture puts it, but it's not only desired, but it's absolute. Well, the outcome is going to be good. Let me put it that way, since I can't think of the word I wanted. A projected end. Amen? We have nothing in this world to fear or worry about. That's why we can have peace. You know, I'm at peace this morning. I mean, this world is falling apart faster than we can shake a stick at it. If you will, it's going to hell in a handbasket faster than we can blink our eyes. That's okay. We know what our end is, amen? We know where our hope, like the song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. And I'm not going to trust any other frame or the sweetest frame. I'm going to wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got a song in my heart. I got several songs in my heart this morning. Praise the Lord. And I'm excited about God this morning. Amen? My brothers, if you'll prepare to receive God's tithes and our offerings this morning, don't let yourself be distracted by things. Did you hear what I said? Don't let yourself be distracted by things and circumstances in your life, in your walk. Keep your focus on Jesus, and you'll know peace. He'll keep your mind in perfect peace because you trust Him. And that's, listen, if your trust is anywhere but in Him, then you're trusting in the wrong things, and your trust is misplaced. Amen? He's the only one we can trust unequivocally, unquestioningly. Amen? He doesn't change. And He's begun the work. He's finishing the work. You can believe that. Just look at your life. Look at your life and see that God is finishing the work that He started in you. We have struggles from now and then, but I'm just a phone call away. The elders are just a phone call away. God is good. And His love is unquenchable. His love for us is unquenchable. It's unchangeable. And it can't be thwarted, no matter what. It can't be stopped. Amen? Hallelujah. Brother Bill.
Amen. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be before You today in Your house. And when we stop and think about Your unconditional love,
yes,
it's just hard to fathom that.
Yes.
But that's what You have for each and every one of us. And we have to remember that every single person that we see with our eyes, You love them,
yes,
as much as You love,
yes,
us.
Yes.
And we need to view people in that light. We need to love them. We need to tell them about Jesus and what He did for
us. Yes,
them.
Yes.
Because if Jesus didn't do what He did, none of us would have any hope.
That's right.
And that's where we find our joy and excitement in You,
yes,
Heavenly Father.
Yes.
We ask You to bless each and every person that's here today. We ask You to give us open ears so that our spirit can receive what You have for us today, Heavenly Father. And I personally thank you so much for everything that you've revealed to me in just the last few weeks. We ask you to bless and multiply our offering that we're about to receive, and we know that you will multiply that beyond our wildest imaginations so that we can continue to do your work here on this earth. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Praise you, Lord.
God will make a way.
Amen.
Where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see.
Lord Jesus, without you, we're nobody. But with you, Lord, we are somebody. And without you, Lord, we can do nothing. But because of you, Lord, we can do all things because you strengthen us. This morning, Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, we acknowledge so great salvation that you've given us. We acknowledge the price that you paid. We worship you this morning. You are worthy, Lamb of God. You are worthy, Lamb of God. We thank you, Lord. We're grateful for what you did. Now this morning, Lord, as we keep these things in mind and we praise you for your mighty, awesome works, lead us and guide us. Order our steps in your word. Speak through me, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're in control. I yield to you. Use me as you see fit. Order my steps. Let me be your oracle. And let me speak only what the Father wants spoken. In Jesus' name. And do only what the Father wants done. We love you, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. There may be some of you who know this man, and there may be some of you who don't. If you watch TBN at all or Christian television, You may have seen him from time to time. He has his own show. He happens to be a pastor out of Winnipeg, Manitoba. His name's Leon, and I can't think of his last name. It's not important. But one of the things that he talked about the other night as he was sharing with the group in that auditorium during Praise the Lord was that he was brought up in the church and that he had seen mighty, awesome miracles. There may be some of us who were brought up in the church, or maybe have been in church for most of our recollective lives. But the one thing that he said that was important about what he said was the fact that, you know, this world can't be reached by religion or by church standards. It can only be reached by going down in the places where they're... You know, one of the things he said, man, when you're in the church, you've got catchers, you've got, you know, the ushers around, you know, that are standing, watching the pulpit, you know, and taking care of business and things while you're ministering the word. But one of the things he did, because he wasn't in a paid position as pastor, he had been a youth minister with his dad. His dad was pastor of a church, pastor of many churches. But he became a paramedic. And what drove him in his spirit and his heart was the fact that, you know, how do I take what I know and touch the people out there as I'm by myself, where I don't have this awesome choir to build up the emotion, where I don't have this awesome, you know, these people there who are, you know, in tune with what's going on and, you know, pray amen, praise the Lord. When you're facing a nitty-gritty and your faith gets put to the test, how do you touch those people? How do you reach out and minister to those people? Well, if you think back, Jesus didn't have a big choir. He didn't have catchers. He had the disciples, but he ministered life to those who were in need. He ministered life to those people. Leon, amen, praise the Lord. Leon Barber is the man's name. He's a wonderful man of God. I mean, he really is. And he has a love for God's people. Praise the Lord. But he says, when you go to an accident and you're in a gutter or in a ditch where there's blood all over, you know, what do you do? That's when you have to step up and you allow the greater one that dwells in you to manifest himself through you. You know, he's given you the measure of faith. I want to say again, as I said earlier this morning, all the faith you're ever going to need. And when God says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, that's not through the standards of the church. That's going into the highways and the byways and the places where they are, getting down with them. I don't mean wallowing in muck and mire, but getting down with them and showing them the love of God and meeting them at their point of need. One of the things he talked about is when you go into a hospital, you know, you can't go in and just start shouting and raving. I mean, if God tells you to do it, do it. But the point is that most of the time you have to go in and just quietly pray for those people. But you know what? I told you just a minute ago, the greater one dwells in you. The all in all. Is He your all in all today? Is He the all-sufficient one? I'm not sufficient in me. As I said, as I prayed, I'm nobody without Him. But with Him, I am. You are somebody. Without Him, I can do nothing. But with Him, I can do all things through Christ, who does what? Strengthens me. Strengthens you. And that's why it's so important when we come together that we understand what it talks about in Galatians when it says, talks about, you know, the work of the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints to go out and do the work in the ministry, to go in the highways and byways and minister to people. You find yourselves in situations every day where you can't, you don't have, you know, the ability to call a pastor and say, come and minister here. It's you. It's you. You are the arms. You are the feet. You are the hands. You are the mouthpiece of the Lord. Individually and collectively, we are the mobility of God in this day and age. Jesus isn't here physically, but He's here every other way, spiritually, emotionally. He's dwelling in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is, according to the Word, the Anointed One. And that anointing lives and abides within you because Jesus is that anointing. And so you carry that anointing with you wherever you go. Amen. Wherever you go. So you have the ability. You may not go out and become a Billy Graham. You may not go out and become a Jesse Duplantis or a Kenneth Copeland, Charles Capps, T.L. Osborne, or a Reinhard Bonnke. But you have the power. You know, when I look at Pastor Justice, here's a man who's out doing the work of the ministry. And if you look at it from the natural standpoint, it looks like his support and the backbone of that ministry has departed. But that's looking through natural eyes. We don't look through natural eyes. We see through the eyes of the Spirit. We can't be moved by what we see. We're moved only by what we know. Amen? We can't be moved by our senses. You know, it's amazing. I can relate in the fact that when I was an ambulance attendant, and this was back in the day, just when they were starting to have paramedic training classes, and everything. When you're in a situation where life depends on you, That's not the time to freak out. You let your instinct and your training and your teaching kick in. And you do what's at hand. And then if it's all been, if you're going to get upset or sick or whatever, when it's over with, that's when you get sick. But that person's life depends on you. Ladies and gentlemen, family of God, there are people out there that are depending on us to be the salt and the light of this earth. There are people out there depending on us to do the will of God and to work the works of God because it's been placed in us. We need to give as we freely received. Amen? Freely give as we freely received. We can't run and call the pastor. We can't run and call the elder. We have to be that point of contact in this world at that moment. And you are. You've been equipped. The plan of God's been manifest in your life. Amen? Amen? We have the ability, as the feet and the hands and the mouthpiece of God, to touch lives and to minister life into death situations. Amen? Keep that in mind this morning. We're not going to talk about law this morning, but we are going to talk about things that are laws in God's Word. Or let me rephrase that. Things that are not changeable. They're unchangeable. They're unchanged. They are still the same today as they were yesterday. And Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Listen carefully. Psalms 1, 2. Or actually 1 through 6. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's so much ungodliness in this world right now. There's so many people out there who are telling you that they're talking like they really know what they're talking about, and they don't know what they're talking about. They're talking from a displaced place. Displaced meaning they're without God and His Son. They're lost. They're undone. And they're proclaiming things that people are hanging on their every word, and yet they are being misdirected, misguided, and they're being led astray by the lies of this world. I said earlier today that I never thought I'd live to see the day where the lie became the truth and the truth became the lie. Where right became wrong and wrong became right. And yet we're living in that age. Everything we see around us points to the fact that Jesus is coming again. And He's coming quickly. He's coming soon. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Now we're not talking about Mosaic law. We're talking about the facts that cannot be changed. And the fact that if we meditate on the things of God, the promises of God, His promises, what He's given to us, starting with our salvation, and how great a salvation, then those are the things that would cause joy in your life, as we spoke about just a little bit ago when we started the service. Those are the things that will bring joy in your life. They'll bring contentment. They'll bring confidence. And they'll bring great, great joy and peace. We talk about the unconditional love of God. The Bible says no greater love has any man than a man lays down his life for his friends. Or for his brother. Now I ask you this morning, is that what Jesus did? Did He do it for you? Are you one of those people? Amen. Amen. Then we need to proclaim that. We need to proclaim that. We should every morning wake up with a song in our heart, with a spring in our step, ready to face the day, and ready for anything that God brings our way. Not because we're so great, but because He's so great. Amen? Hallelujah. I mentioned earlier, just in passing, I want to touch on it again. Isaiah 26:3. I'm going to read probably a verse or two here. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. But you know, and I apologize, I've left out the most important key in that verse. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. All of your hope, all of your trust has to be in God. It's not your ability, it's God's ability. All he needs is a conduit to let his power and his love flow and shine and minister to the needy people, the people who are lost and dying in this world, who need a touch from God. You are the real Jesus in this life today. You are the Jesus who touches people and who changes people. Because the Jesus, the greater one, dwells in you. He dwells and lives and abides in you. He gave us a promise that said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be given to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And what's important today is that we meditate on those things. We think about those things. Meditate on the pure, the lovely, the good report, those virtuous things. Amen? Meditate on those things. If you'll do that, you will walk in God's supply. And you'll not have demands. You'll have a flow of blessing that's unstoppable. We're supposed to be ready in season, instant in season. Amen? Both to do the will of God and to give an answer to those who ask us what hope we have within us. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. See, if you meditate on the things of God, it builds you up. What things of God? What has He done in your life? What change has He brought? What blessings has He brought in your life? What things have you overcome because you've spoken the right things? You've spoken the Word and you've testified. Your confession has been, and the way you overcame was by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Whether it's a word of testimony prophesying the outcome in any situation in your life or somebody else's life, or whether it's saying, this is what God's done for me and it's because of His blood that I'm here today. It's because of His mercy. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Word talks about looking to the hills where our help comes from. Where does our help come from? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. The all-sufficient One. If we trust in the Lord, we look at the Word, we take the Word, we believe the Word, then there's nothing that can hold us back and there's nothing we don't have. There's no circumstances that will come in our life that we can't speak into that circumstance and watch that circumstance just fade away. And watch and feel the power of God and the love of God well up within us and know that He is with us till the very end. No matter what the circumstance. Are you still with me? No matter what the circumstance. No matter what the trial. No matter what comes your way. No matter what challenge you face. Amen? We are overcomers. Amen. Amen. We're overcomers. We've already talked about Revelation 12:11 that says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We overcome in every circumstance, in every situation, by what we say and what our attitude is at that moment. We stand or we fail. But you see, it's not just us standing there. We put our hope in God, but we trust in His Word. We trust in His promises. We trust in the work that He's already done, because He can't lie. So it's not us on the front line. It's us putting out the image of Jesus. Amen? And what did He say? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That means that no matter what you face, no matter what comes in your life every day, He's there. He's with you. He's right there to see the outcome come. And He wants the outcome more than you and I. And not only in others' lives, but in your life. Amen? Amen? See, He's the orchestrator, the author of all of this. He's the one who planned all this. Amen? So that's why we look to Him. That's why we trust in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to close with this. I just want to encourage you a little bit today. Chapter 6, verse 11 through 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. Now, Paul's talking to the Corinthians here, but listen to what he says. We have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. You realize you're the one who stands in the way when you're looking for something from God and it doesn't seem to come? It's not God. God's ready, willing, and able. Are you? Can you come out of yourself long enough to think about the fact that God's the one who's backing up what He says in your life? The responsibility's not on you? Amen. Woohoo! That's good news. It's not my responsibility. My responsibility is only obedience. Amen. Amen. Now, in return for the same, in parentheses it says, I speak as to children, you also be open. But one of the things he tells us, remember, what you associate with and what you meditate on is what's going to affect your walk and is what's going to make you an overcomer or one who's behind the eight ball. Now, when I say when you associate, I mean don't get caught up in the things of this world. Don't get caught up in the things of the world that people around you are caught up in. Keep your focus on the Lord. He'll direct your path. Amen? That's a promise of God. And you'll be able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. And God will accomplish in you what needs to be accomplished in you. Remember, we're supposed to be vessels, or again, conduits, for the power of God and the Word of God. We don't keep it and hoard it. We let it out there. We spill it out. And what happens when we do that? We get more filled every time. As we give out, we get filled. As we give out, we get filled. Amen? It's called rivers, not ponds. It's rivers of living water. Amen? And you have in you and through the Word the source of that living water. Glory to God. Glory to God. Here's what he says. He didn't say don't have anything to do with the ungodly. He said don't be unequally yoked in verse 14. Unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Because what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Now listen to me. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? God doesn't want you to walk away from a sinner. He wants you to be able to minister life to him, but don't get caught up in the things they do. Don't take sides against the Word of God for them. Amen? Don't get caught up in their foolishness, but minister life to them to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and the power that's within Him to see their needs met, their bodies healed, and then what happens is you will begin to have fellowship with that person and they're not an unbeliever anymore. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Too simple, huh? Too simple. Ha! And what accord does Christ have with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? for you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them and will be their God, and they will be my people. You're not inferior. Did you hear me? I don't care what's been proclaimed to you or proclaimed over you. I don't care what people have said to you, whether well-meaning or through meanness and divisiveness. You are the head and not the tail. God loves you. And He's dwelling in you. And because of that, you have the ability. You know, let me ask you a question. How could I help any of you? How could I say something positive, something that will bless you, bring life to you, and change your circumstances, if all I do is sit around and worry about me? What I don't have, what I don't see, the things that I'm praying for that haven't come to pass yet. We sang that song this morning, In His Time. He makes all things beautiful in His time. Amen. Let me ask you a question. How much better would it have been for you to thank God for what He's already done in your life and receive that than have to ask Him for what He's already given you? This is not a put down. I'm asking a question here. See, that's one of the things that we face every day in our lives. We're asking God for what He's already done and what He's already completed the work. Did Jesus go to the cross? Was He beaten? What does it say? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. So why do we struggle? And every one of us do this to some degree, or have done this. Some of us may be getting the victory a little bit, praise the Lord. But we're not there yet. God's not done with us yet. So this question is not just directed at you, Deborah. This is for everybody. How much better would it be if we just acknowledge what God has done? And the Bible says, like Harry said last week, and like the Word says, in everything, or maybe when we were talking and Harry prayed for me Wednesday, I was really sick this week. I'm telling you, I was in pain, and it wasn't pretty, and it wasn't fun. But I'm healed. But I didn't dwell on that. See, Harry prayed the prayer of faith for me. And that settled it. You hear me? I don't care what I'm going through at the moment. I don't care what the outcome is or how long it goes. God has done what He said He's done. And we're not trying to get it. We need to learn to walk in it. What's the Bible command us to do? Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by feeling. Amen? Your feelings are going to deceive you. What do I mean by deceive you? I'm not saying you're not in pain. I'm not saying I wasn't sick. What I'm saying is, if I walk by faith and not by sight or by feelings, then what I find out is the reality of God's Word becomes more real than what I have, and I walk in the manifestation of what God has already done. Amen? Do I need to say that again, or did y'all get that? Your eyes and your heart and your feelings will deceive you. Your sensual nature. Sensual nature is not reality. It's not real. It's based on emotions and on your mind, which is the only place the enemy can attack you. I love that song by the Imperials, Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. And the chains that seem to bind you, they serve only to remind you that they fall powerless behind you when you praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your feelings aren't ever going to do anything for you except lie to you and tell you how broke, busted, and disgusted you are. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? But when you praise Him and you put your faith out there and you proclaim through your testimony by the blood that's covered you and the promise that God's given you, and you proclaim by the word of your mouth the outcome and according to the word, according to what you know God has said. And what you're going to find is that His timing is not as far off as what you might think. Now, there are some things, I'm telling you, you'll stand until you think, "Dear God, I don't think it's ever going to happen, but it's not what I think, it's what I know." Did you hear what I said? It's not what you and I think, it's what we know. I know whom I have believed. I know the one I've believed in. And I know that He is able to keep that those things that I've committed to Him against the day of His return. Which means whatever I prayed, I'm not changing my mind. I'm not detoured from it. I'm not changing my testimony. My proclamation is the same. It's done in Jesus' name. I have what I said because His Word does not return void. That's why praying the Word is the most powerful form of prayer you can pray. Amen? And I know when I pray, I'm going to see the manifestation of what I prayed for. And you all need to be the same way. I don't care what it is. And I don't care if it feels like it's way bigger than you are. Once again, I come back to that word. The Holy Spirit seems to be hounding on this morning. The greater one dwells in you. Greater than you, greater than circumstances, greater than situations, greater than calamity, greater than evil. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. We serve a great, big, awesome God. A great, big, wonderful God. And there's nothing. And we need to be convinced of this. We need to confess this until it gets from here down to here, that there is nothing beyond His realm of ability or His scope of ability. Or nothing that does not touch Him that concerns you and I or His creation. Did you hear me? There's nothing. There's nothing. There is nothing in this world. Let me put it this way. Money in this world does not mean you are not blessed. If you don't have it or if you have it, it doesn't mean you're blessed. Where you're blessed is knowing the greater one who dwells in you. And when you have that and you have the assurance of His Word and what His promises are and what He did for you on the cross and what He did for mankind, I wept this morning. I couldn't help it. Every time lately, I'm so touched by what Jesus did. And the suffering that He did for me. I deserve that. It should have been me. I owe Him a debt that I can never repay. Not only do I praise Him with my mouth, but I praise Him with my life. And the greatest praise I can give to Him is to give my life to Him. That's the highest praise you can give Him. Give your life to Him. That means everything. Your time, your talent, your blessing, your physical possessions, everything. It's His anyway. You didn't have it if it wasn't for Him. Say amen. Someday, when people get broke and busted and disgusted enough, they'll start trusting in God and finding out that God is supplier of all your need. And He does not leave you. And His Word says, and this refers to the Word of God as much as anything, and we can say, we have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the one who is righteous, his seed begging for bread, no matter what it is. Spiritual and physical. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we get so miserable walking in the walk and the life we're living, then let's get our mind off of those things and start walking. We might just find out there's some joy there to be had. We might just find out that there's peace and victory. Amen? And we might find out we are the overcomer that the Word says we are. And we might find out that we do overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. What we profess, what we confess, what we say. I wish I could remember the entirety of the testimony that Leon gave by a little girl at the altar. And basically she was dead. She died. That mom brought her to... I can't remember if she brought her to church. That's not the important part. But because of what God had put in her, because she listened to the Word of God, at that moment, there was no physical or outward hope. The only hope she had was in God. And she looked at that little girl, and right there at that altar, she said, "I'm not going to have this." "No, you're not. You will live and you will not die." And began to proclaim the word over that little girl, and that little girl came back to life. She literally called that girl, little girl's spirit back and said, "You're not finished here." That's what we need to be seeing today. And you have that ability. Or that ability operates through you in Christ. Amen? It's by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can proclaim. We can do all things. How many here know that God has special cases? I see question marks in some of the faces. Yeah, God has special cases. Like the woman that I've told you before, one of the things she always wanted to do is see, you know, to be used by God to raise the dead. I've told you that story. Man was sitting at a bus stop, she's sitting there. God had just performed a miracle for her where she had no money for gas and God told her to pull in the gas station. Now you tell me that you wouldn't think the same thing. And she's saying, "What do I do now?" God says, "Pump the gas." No. God says, "Pump the gas." And she says, "I'm not pumping the gas. That's stealing." God says, "Pump the gas." She pumps the gas. Now what? God says, "Look on top of the pump." There under a gas cap was a $20 bill paid for her gas. This just happened. See, it's our mind and our thoughts and our emotions that get in the way. We need to let our faith become greater than our emotions and our thoughts. We need to be obedient to what the Spirit says. She pulls up to a bus stop. She's been out running errands for her little boy's little league team. Sees a man at a bus stop, an old man and another man there. And all of a sudden, one of the old man keels over and drops dead right there at the bus stop. And the guy's freaking out. He's just having a fit. You know, the other guy. You know, just, you know. "Dear Lord, oh my God, he's dead. Oh no." God says, go command him to come back. Go bring him back from the dead. Say what? You talking to me? So she goes over and he says, "Command this man to come back. In the name of Jesus, rise." "Are you ashamed of me?" Where have we heard that before in the life of Peter? "No, Lord, I'm not ashamed of you." Then command him to come back. "In the name of Jesus, come back." And again the question comes, "Are you ashamed of me?" "No, Lord." Then command him to come back. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to rise." And then this other guy starts freaking out real good because this old man just came back to life. This man had had a heart problem for years. He was scheduled to go in either the following day or that week for heart surgery. His wife had been praying for him for years. These are just little examples. Been praying for him for years. This woman, who I know personally, or I knew personally, I haven't seen them in years, was one of the youth pastors of the church that I was in. She and her husband were the youth ministers of the church. And she got the information that she needed, and she was able to go see this man at the hospital and got to meet the wife. And as she was talking to the wife, she said, "You know," she said, "I have been praying for this man for years and acknowledged what God had done." And the woman explained to this youth minister that he was scheduled to come in for heart surgery, but that the doctors had just explained to her that this man doesn't need heart surgery, that he has the heart and the strength of an 18-year-old. This man was in his 70s or 80s. And then she got to go in and talk to the man. They invited her in and she got to talk to the man. And he said, "You know, when this happened, as I was laying there, I felt myself and I could see myself going down into a dark, dark hole. And like hands reaching out and grabbing and pulling me down and pulling me down and pulling me down. And then I heard something and it stopped me for just a second. That was the first time she said, "In the name of Jesus, rise." And then he said, "I started to descend again and the hands were pulling me down. And finally he heard a little better, and that this time he saw a little light and he stopped descending. And the third time she commanded him to come back with the boldness that God gave her and that God commands us to have." How many know it's in the power of His might? It's in His strength. Amen. He began to ascend. That day God fulfilled a desire of her heart, but her faith was built. I believe she'll never ever have another doubt about the things of God. Let me tell you something. I don't know about y'all, but I've had places in my young Christian life years ago where I heard something and I was afraid because of some circumstances and some experience that I had. So I wouldn't be obedient anymore. Like it was up to me. Like the responsibility was on me. I'm here to encourage you today, don't do that. Do not do that. If you feel God impressing you, in fact God commands you to do it, then go do it. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You can count on it. Whether it's in your presence right at that moment or if it's later on down the road. Who cares how it happens as long as it happens? But you be obedient. Because the responsibility and the outcome is not on you. Are you hearing me? It's not on you. It's on God. You're His ambassador. You're His. The Bible says we're His workmanship. He's the one who's responsible, not you. You know, the only thing you're responsible for is obedience. Amen? And obedience is better than sacrifice. Again, I know some of you have confessed this, some of you said this. I'll bet it's true in most of your lives. At some point in your Christian walk where God's told you to do something and you didn't do it because your mind this cannot be God, this has to be me. And so you didn't do it. And afterwards, you knew you missed God. But God didn't cast you down, did He? He didn't turn on you and say, "Well, you old unbelieving thing, why don't you do what I tell you?" He took you on to the next circumstance. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He stands there. "When are you going to trust me?" Didn't He tell us, "Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Don't lean to our own understanding. In all our ways, in all our travelings, our comings, our goings, acknowledge Him and He will direct our path." Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. But the key, what's that? We have to trust Him for everything, because without Him we've got nothing, we are nothing, we'll never, you know, we're in a hopeless state without God. Like that song says, we're lost and undone. Lost and undone without God and His Son. You have no hope. There's some good people out there who don't know the Lord. What they need to know is the Lord, and that'll enhance their life and enrich their life. Amen? And you might be the very one God's putting in the place to minister to that person. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Are you encouraged? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Does anybody need prayer? Well, I wish y'all wouldn't rush this pulpit. Yes.
I would like the congregation to pray for Israel.
I don't think that ever stops. Amen.
But even worse, Israel needs our prayer.
What they need is the Messiah. That's what they need, is the Messiah. What's in their hearts, no matter where they came from, what part of the world they came from, going back to Jerusalem is what the Bible says they're going to do. They're going to come from all the parts of the earth. Amen? The north, south, east, and west, they're going to come. And what's in their hearts is for Israel. And I don't care what happens, you can't shake them from it. You listen to some of these people that are being interviewed. And while it may be uncomfortable, they're not dismayed. They're not freaking out. They'll tell you honestly it's uncomfortable, but we're here to stay. Amen. God's put that in their heart. And we need to have that same kind of tenacity in us to get so involved with in the Word of God that we know that what God said is going to happen. With or without us, because of us or in spite of us, it's going to happen the way God said. But if you've got a heart for God, then you don't want to see anybody perish. I'm telling you, if you look out there, the only people who are standing for Israel right now, I'm saying right this minute, whether you see it completely in full view or not, are the people of God. Let's do that, Ryan. Father, You said that they would prosper that love Israel, Lord. And You said to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. So Lord, right now, and according with Your will, in accordance with Your word and Your plan, Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, we stand with Israel. We stand against the tyrannical, satanical scheme that Satan has to destroy Israel, which he will never do. Lord, this is a modern day Job that we see standing before us. Israel is a modern day Job. The devil's doing all he can, but he can't kill him. He can't. He can't. Because they're Your people. So Father, I pray for peace on those people. I pray for them to prosper and grow and for them to come to know You, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. To know You, the only true God, not the religious God, not the traditional God, but the real God, the true God, and Jesus Christ, Your Son, who You sent to redeem them. I thank You for protection. I thank You for good outcomes. I thank You for peace, and I thank You for the comfort that comes to those who have already lost loved ones. And I thank You, Lord, for a quick end to this and You to return and cause peace in this earth and cause people to be in harmony with You in Your new Jerusalem, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So be it. Hallelujah. Anything else? Anybody else? And Father, right now, if all hearts are clear, Lord, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your encouragement today. More than anything, we thank You for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that's here. He comes in with us because He's in us. And He dwells here and He manifests Himself every time we get together, Lord. I thank You for touching the hearts. I thank You for Your word accomplishing what it was sent to do. And I thank You, Lord, that we are the head and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. We're Your people and we're strong in the Lord and in the power of Your might, Lord. And what You say, we will do. And like You, Jesus, we proclaim, we're only going to do what Your Father, our Father, says to do, And we're only going to speak what your Father, our Father, speak, tells us to speak. We want to be in your image and likeness. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the joy that we have in you. Lord, now we sanctify this fellowship, Lord, and this food by your word and this prayer. Bless our fellowship, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to grow closer to you, and we have grown closer, and to one another as the family of God. In Jesus' name, if you agree with this, say amen. Bless you.